Hustle. I am your host, Andy Wilson. I own and operate Professional Lawn Maintenance in Newcastle, Indiana. We are doing a series of podcasts, Meet the Pros, and today we have the host of Profits with Pajak, John Pajak, with us on the show. I am a frequent listener of his podcast, and I encourage all of my listeners to subscribe and hit his notification button so you don't miss one of his episodes. His podcast is very interesting, it's informative, and it's fun. So I encourage you to listen. John, thank you for joining the show today.
Well, thank you, Andy. I appreciate you having me on today. It's good to see you.
We recently were at Equip Expo, and can you tell us what your biggest takeaway was from Equip Expo?
Man, there's so many different things that, you know, Equip has many layers to it. It's like a big onion, you know. But, like, for me, I think it's the engagement with other people. You know, the relationships, building, meeting new people, for one, and then just building on the relationships from previous years is the highlight for me. Because many years ago, you know, it's not that I don't enjoy the show, but it wasn't always about the equipment anymore. It was about the people coming. And that, for me, is, you know, the real, that's the real juice right there. That's the stuff that I enjoy the most, is meeting people. You know, let's just say we've known each other because either they listen to me or, you know, they're in the Facebook group that I'm in or something like that. And it gives us an opportunity to meet face to face, and it's just amazing, you know. So for me personally, like I said, Equip has many different layers. It could be a million things to a million different people, but for me, it's the connections that I make.
Yes.
Go to that event.
And that was my goal for this year's Equip, is networking, building relationships and friendships. And I feel like those friendships are going to be friendships for life. And just knowing that there's other people out there in our industry that might be going through the same struggle or have gone through the same struggle that I might currently be going through, and they can give me counsel, advice, words of wisdom to help me get through it. So that's what I appreciate about our industry. And I appreciate you coming on my show. I know you're used to interviewing people and having guests on your show. So the table is reversed today. You're a guest, and I appreciate you being here.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Yes, sir. Tell us a little bit about your journey and what led you to where you are today.
I have like many people, it is probably a very, you know, long and windy path. But I feel that, you know, I wouldn't change anything. When I first started in lawn care, it was in the, you know, mid-90s, late-90s. That's when I got, well, late-90s is when I got my first real shot at, you know, professional lawn care, you know, not running around with a lawnmower that my dad let me use, an electric weed whacker. You know, that was, I hated that thing. It just drove me nuts because of the extension cord. But anyway, I did that for a while. I worked for other companies and got to become a crew lead and had some, you know, responsibility put on me. And then I ended up thinking that I was smart enough. I'm like, you know what? I think I want to make more money. I'm going to go do this myself. And I was working that job, and then on the side I was doing my own accounts, and that ended up failing miserably. I didn't know. I was a really good technician. I was just a terrible business owner. I wasn't a business owner. I just didn't know what I was doing. Didn't price anything right. Was broke all the time, working constantly, and it just didn't pay off. Ended up, got lucky, was able to sell everything that I had to get out of that relatively debt free. And then I kind of licked my wounds for many, many years. And in that time period, I ended up leaving the company I was working for, and I became a teacher at a college. I was a college instructor for a little bit, and then kind of got burnt out on that. Went into construction, was doing a lot of really big, I'm talking big work. We're talking steel mills and the oil refinery. And I became an estimator at one of the companies that I was working for. I started out as a laborer. And then, even though I was still hired as a contractor, I was doing a lot of estimates for this company. And a few things, you know, when work dried up for estimating, I went back in the field, almost got seriously hurt, and then almost got killed a couple times. I'm like, you know what? I never got hurt that bad when I was mowing lawns or spraying equipment, you know, spraying fertilizers and things. So I'm like, plus I think I've learned enough now. I want to go back. I need some redemption here. I need to try this again. So I talked to my wife, which was kind of a difficult thing, to leave a very good paying job with lots of benefits to start my business. And I started Turf Tamer Lawn Care. And that was in 2015. And then ever since then, things, I've went into it with a whole different light. And on my journey there, it was in business for a few years, and then I started hanging out with a bunch of people on Facebook and YouTube and everything, and I started to say, well, you know, let me help you with your business, let me help you here, let me help you there. And then I started realizing, you know, there's quite a few people that are like, man, you should probably coach people because you're really good at this. You know the numbers thing really well. And it's mainly, it came from all of the failure that I went through. I don't want other people to fail. I don't want other people to be afraid, because if you look at like the Facebook groups and stuff, like what are the number one questions? Oh, how much should I charge for this? How much should I charge for that? So that's why I started to, you know, actually charge for what I was doing. And I realized the path that I was on, you know, going from a really good technician in lawn care to failing at my own business to becoming an instructor, which gave me the skills to communicate with people and, you know, not just bore them to death, but hopefully entertain them at the same time. And then the estimating skills I picked up in construction, it all kind of tied together, and I think God put me on that path. He's like, you have to go through these trials and tribulations to find where you fit in this role that I've given you. And now, you know, I have the podcast, which is free to people. You know, they can listen to it. Also, consulting and coaching is another part of my business. Now, truth be told, most of my money does come from my lawn care business. It is still there. I haven't like jumped completely over to, you know, coaching. It might be down the road, maybe. I might just have the business run by somebody else now. But anyway, long story short, that's kind of like the nutshell. So for those of you that are listening that might not know my story, that's kind of a roundabout way of summing it up for you.
Well, I have found through the years that the will of God and the grace of God will never lead you to a place where He will not provide for you. And so you said it was God that put you on that path, and God always knows what He's doing. Sometimes we don't know what He's doing, but He's always knows what He's doing, and He's in charge. So I appreciate your recognizing and understanding that God has His hand in the direction and the course that you should take. So I appreciate that. If someone was to come to you and say, John, I'm thinking about starting a lawn care business, what advice would you give them?
I would probably tell them, and I know I do this, if they have no experience in it, I tell them to go get some experience first. And it's not because you can't, you know, lawn mowing, especially if it's just mowing, that's a pretty easy thing to get into.
Right.
It's something that, you know, you might go, well, I probably won't learn that much, but you'd be surprised, you know. Not only about the technique of actually doing the work, but when you work for somebody else, you can kind of look behind the curtain, especially if that's what your plan is. You know, if you're just there and you want a paycheck and you're just going through the motions of doing work, you're going to look at it from one lens. You're going to look through it from one lens. If you're looking to start a business and you look around and you try to find a company that's actually successful, I would suggest go work for them and just kind of keep an eye open. See how things are done, because there's a huge difference between, even if it doesn't matter if it's just one crew, like one truck, to multiple trucks. If you see somebody that's successful, it's not about the equipment and the truck that is making the money. It is, okay? But there's a lot of things that go behind the scenes that you don't know what you don't know until you know it.
Right.
Which is such a weird thing. But, you know, I caution people that have zero experience to go and start a business from scratch. I would suggest go work for somebody first. Look, don't just go to work, but try to figure out the nuts and bolts of things. Like, oh, see the things that only the boss sees. You know, and even have that conversation with them, because I've had plenty of employees come through me, and, you know, most of them, what we do is I ask what their goals are. It's the first thing I ask. I'm like, what do you want to do?
Right.
I want to mow lawns. Well, I mean, besides that, you know, I want to know about you.
Right. Andy, that is good.
Andy, what do you want to do with you?
Right.
And then it's like, okay, then I can see. And a lot of times, you know, you guys have asked me, you're like, well, how do you price this? How do you do this? And it's like some guys get all uptight about that. And they go, well, I don't want to teach them because they're going to leave me and then become my competition. I'm like, good. If they want to become my competition, that's good. Because one, it keeps me on my toes. And two, if they're bad, then they'll understand. They'll learn the hard way. They'll learn the lesson. I don't want them to fail, but at the same time, hey, it happens to a lot of us.
Dr. John Maxwell says leaders are not born, they are made. And I think that's what you're talking about when you invest in other people. And I feel like I should be training my replacement.
Yes.
And when you do that, you're investing in them, and you're showing them, you're training them, you're teaching them. And you use that word success, which leads me to my next question. How do you define success? And has your definition evolved over the years?
Yeah, it success, in my opinion, has really changed over the years. I used to think it was based off of monetary value, things, stuff, and that used to be the the benchmark for everything. As I got older, when I got married, when I had my daughter, that changed a bit. And success to me looks a bit different. And I'm not saying that monetary, you know, money and things are not important. They are, but for me, it turned into, you know, having the time to spend with my family. It was being able to feel comfortable and not always having to work constantly. Because, you know, we're only here for a limited amount of time. And if I could go ahead and still provide for my family, and not, they know who I am, you know, that is, for me, being able to walk away from, it's not always super easy, but it's like, okay, if we have plans, and I have to rearrange my work schedule, to me, that's a part of success.
Right.
The ability, the freedom that I get from being a business owner, even though it does have its shackles, it ties you down, but at the same time, it does allow you some freedom that you can't get with a 9-to-5. To me, that's success.
Yes, sir.
Being able to turn around and use my business to all of a sudden, it's like, hey, we need to make, like my wife, you know, she just decided to go back to school to get her master's degree. And it's like, oh, okay, well, tuition is going to be due soon. I don't really want to take it out of savings. I'll tell you what, I think I'm going to do some sales real quick and make that money up. I could go ahead and be like, okay, I need $6,000 real quick. How do I do that ethically?
Right.
And it's like, oh, here we go. So having that, that, you know, for me, that is like a measurement of success. Being able, the ultimate success would be to be able to kind of walk away from everything and it still operates without me. And then I'm like, yeah.
Yeah. Well, how do you stay motivated? What principles or values guide you in life and in work?
Mostly, I'm family driven. I'm always looking at what does God need for me? What does He want me to do? And anything that I am going to engage in is going to be something that He wants me to do. You know, I just had a conversation recently about, you know, what a Christian should do for business. And I was trying to think about it. I'm like, well, you know, some people say, well, if you're making money, you're being greedy and all these other things. And I'm like, well, no, we're serving people. I think when we serve people in a way that does not cross any boundaries, like we have clear-cut lines where sorry, I got a sick puppy today. But, you know, if it's something that if you're going to do something where it might cause damage to someone else, then you shouldn't do it.
Right.
I've always said, you know, I could have made a lot of money by selling things that – devices, you know. You know, if you're selling alcohol or cigarettes or pornography or gambling, you know, things like that, I'm like, no, I'm going to steer clear of all that. Even though it's pretty easy to make money in that because people always want those types of things. You know, I steer clear of those things. I steer clear of anything that I pretend if, you know, Jesus was standing right next to me, would He be ashamed of me if I was doing it?
Right.
So when I go through life, I always try to think that even though I don't see Him standing next to me, I always go, would God be proud of me? Standing, if He was here right now, and I know He always is, He's always watching, but would He be proud of me right now?
That is so good.
So it really doesn't matter what job, because I've done some horrible jobs, and you know, but most of those really dirty, nasty jobs that I did, they, you know, that washes off. That's good, clean work.
Right.
I've done jobs. I've worked in video stores, which did not. They don't correlate with the life I live now, and. It was easy money, but it was, you know, it was heavy on my soul, and I'll never do that again.
Right.
That was bad stuff. So anyway, just we could go very deep on that. Just that one question.
Yes,
it's a very good question. Thank you for asking.
Oh, you're welcome. I believe that whatever you go to do, the scripture says you do it as unto the Lord. So I try to treat every customer as if they are my most important customer. That little old lady that's living on Social Security, or the wealthy couple that are medical doctors. I don't try to treat anyone different. I treat everyone as if they're my most important customer. And I'm working for them, yes, but it's a ministry. I'm helping beautify their property. I'm helping my city look better, and I'm providing for my family at the same time. So I think it's a ministry what we do. And if more of us in the industry would think of it that way, what a powerful impact we could have on our communities.
Well, I agree. And thinking about it that way, I do it all the time myself. We get so focused on one thing. Mm-hmm. We need to get this done. We need to get this whatever, you know, and we look to ourselves. We start worrying about what, you know, we worry about the wrong things a lot of times.
Right.
And it's like when we could take a step back and go back to the basics of just treating each other like we want to be treated.
Yes.
Then that's a fundamental thing that you know, it's like you could try to teach that to somebody, but they have to experience it in order to truly drive that message home. Because it's not until your first time when, you know, you're, you know, under a lot of stress and you snap at somebody and then you realize, oh man, I would fire me in a heartbeat if somebody did that to me.
Right.
So it's like, wait, hang on. I know they're upset. Maybe a customer calls and they're not happy with service or whatever. Maybe they just didn't like the color of your car. I don't know. But, you know, we have to take, I think it's really important to take that step back in a sense and take a deep breath and then, you know, treat them the way we wanted to be treated, even when it's a bad, you know, it's not the most comfortable time. It's like, you're hurting me, you're yelling at me. I don't necessarily need to yell at somebody back.
Right.
Let's just keep, you know, moving forward and keep those principles in mind.
Absolutely. I believe we need to treat everyone with dignity and respect. You know, and when that customer is upset, a soft answer turns away wrath. And I try to remember that and try to respond to their being upset in a polite, kind, soft, gentle way and kind of bring calm to the situation. It's a great thing to practice, and I appreciate your answer to that question. I think that's going to be one of the things on this podcast that people will find value in, is that answer that you gave me. I appreciate that.
Oh, you're so welcome. I mean, most of the time we talk about, you know, pricing and financial insights and, you know, what KPI should be tracking. And it's like, you know, I do all that, but, you know, this, you know, making sure we're treating each other right, having open hearts, turning the other cheek when necessary. I mean, those are the principles that the rest of that stuff is built on.
Right. Well, I know some people in business that they got their numbers down. They know how to turn a profit. They know how to organize and run their business. But they treat people terrible. And I just don't think you can have long-term success if you treat people bad. I think it's important for us to know our numbers. It's important for us to know what our bottom line is, to try to figure out what percentage of net profit we want and how to successfully run and operate a business. But it's equally important to learn how to treat people.
Absolutely. I mean, I've known people like that myself. And, you know, there's quite a few people that they have pretty good followings on YouTube and Instagram and things like that. You'll, depending on how your algorithm works, you know, I see these people pop up into mine quite a bit. And I try not to engage with them because I don't approve of the way that they treat other people.
Right.
And, you know, they're very popular, very successful. They're also very vulgar and very, you know, direct to the point. I know that that attracts a certain, you know, mentality of a certain personality gets attracted by that. And they think that that's the way they need to do business. And I know I'm not as successful as those people are that are, you know, treating people like trash. But the thing is, at the end of the night, I could lay my head down, I could look at my daughter, and she could see the things. She, you know, I'm on YouTube and stuff. She watches YouTube. There isn't anything out there that my daughter would ever see that I would be ashamed
right.
to come home and say. I don't think there's ever going to be a time, I hope that there's not going to be a time, where I ever do something to where she sees it and says, Dad, why were you like that? Why didn't you treat that person nice? Why were you mean to somebody?
Yeah.
And it's not always, we always have to be really overly nice to people, but, you know, respect goes a long way, and respect goes both ways.
Yes, sir.
So when we are, especially if we are business owners, and we are expecting respect because we created jobs for people, but we don't give respect. That's the first problem you got to solve. You got to figure out. You have to open your heart to gratitude.
Right.
Because without having a team around you, if you treat them like trash, but you go, that's fine, I pay them really well. I mean, you know, usually bad leadership is the reason why people quit. Most people quit because of bad leadership. I know, when I was a college instructor and when I was in construction, both of those, the last jobs I was working, well, let's just go back to the college. The reason I left the college was because of poor management. I did not feel appreciated for all the things I did. They nicknamed me the man. You know, like the students would call me the man. Everybody else in the office would. I thought it was kind of a joke, but it turned out, I mean, I was just doing so much. And I wasn't really, I didn't even really, wasn't looking for, I was looking for a pay raise. But I was also just looking for some acknowledgement and respect. And the current administration there, they just wanted more and more for nothing. They treated me poorly, and I left there. They ended up having to hire like 4 people to replace me. It was kind of crazy. And then, and again, you know, with construction, people weren't looking out for me. I was always looking out for others, making sure that they were safe. And when it was my turn, you know, the whole watch, like, I know it sounds, you know, we were working in really hazardous conditions where oxygen wasn't, we had to monitor the oxygen levels so that, you know, pass out and die. You also had to make sure nobody was doing anything wrong because your life was in their hands. And I found quite a few times I got injured in one of those pipes and my whole watch was gone. He like left. I'm like, I don't care if you have to poop your pants, man. You stay there. I'm there for you. I won't leave you. I will poop in a bucket right next to this hole because I need to watch out for you. You know?
Right.
But anyway.
Well, respect is not something we demand. It's something we earn.
Exactly.
And if I want my employees to respect me and my clients to respect me, and people in my community to respect me, I've got to show my employees, my clients, and people in my community respect. And it goes both ways. You're exactly right. Well, let me ask you a little fun question.
Well, these have been fun.
Yeah. What hobbies do you have to keep you motivated?
Well, I used to be quite the paintballer. And that was one of my favorite things to do. I haven't done it since 2015 because I wasn't even playing that day. I went out and I was reffing, and this is right when I started the business and everything. I went to run to go check on a player, and I tore a muscle in my calf. And I thought I got shot. I just thought somebody shot me in the back of the leg. And it happens all the time when you're a referee, but I was like, man, this is not, I can't walk. Like, this is not getting better. And ended up going, you know, I drove myself home and everything. That was a painful drive. But anyway, long story short, I found out I tore the muscle. So ever since then, I've had this fear of, you know, hurting myself like that again, because I'm like, man, everything kind of counts on me. But that used to be one of my favorite things to do. I've been playing paintball off and on since the 90s, and that was just one of my favorite things to do. At this point right now, I mean, I really don't have many hobbies. As far, it's mostly just, I guess it's helping people, and yeah, that's kind of what I do. I am a bit of a nerd. I will sit out instead of maybe I'll be watching TV, but I'll be working on a spreadsheet trying to figure out, like, more creative ways of, you know, breaking down numbers and tracking data and things like that. But, yeah, I'm kind of boring now. It's good.
Well, I like...
most of my waking hours are, you know, spent helping my family, helping...
Yeah.
And just helping others get their businesses better.
After a stressful day at work, for me, there's nothing like coming home and jumping on the Hurley and just getting some wind therapy.
Yeah.
So it's kind of my escape to rejuvenate me.
I was going to say, this was years ago, and Andy, you're going to laugh at me. I know that feeling, but in a different aspect, because a buddy of mine lent me his scooter for a while, and I forget what, it's got enough power on it to, you know, push me at like 50 miles an hour, okay, I forgot what, you know, cc's it was, but at first it was kind of like, we stopped at his house and he couldn't drive me back home. He was, hey, I got the scooter, go ahead and take it home, and I'm like, dude, are you kidding me? Like, after a while, I started driving around like that was normal. I was like, I didn't want to be seen on it at first, but then actually I started realizing, I'm like, maybe I should get a bike. I get the wind therapy thing now.
I had a crash. I had a car pull out in front of me, and I tried to miss them, and I clipped the back end of their car. It threw me down the street about 50 yards and separated a shoulder. And my bike was laying on the road. And I thought, you know, if I don't pick that bike up and get it fixed, I'll never get on another bike again. It's like one time I was helping my brother roof a house, and we're rolling out the felt paper, and I walked right off a two-story house and fell into a big pile of sand. And my brother yelled down at me, if you're okay, get back up here. I said, well, give me a minute. He said, no. He said, if you don't get right back up here, you'll never get on another roof again. So he was telling me, you know, you got to overcome that fear of falling or you'll never get back up again. And I think sometimes that applies to running a business. You know, if we fail at one thing, we got to try again. Maybe come at it at a different angle, but we got to keep doing it.
Absolutely. I mean, that's exactly what happened. You know, I was telling you where I came from.
Mm-hmm.
Failing, I waited a long time before I got back up on the roof. You know, my first business, I fell. I mean, it was like falling off a three-story building, two-story building,
right?
Whatever. And, yeah, it took me a long time to get back up there. I was afraid of failing again. I was afraid of so many things, and I think the best thing that ever happened to me was the fact that I started over again.
Right.
Because if I didn't do that, I don't think I could be helping as many people as I do now.
Right.
Because I'd still be stuck either in a 9-to-5, or maybe I'd still be kind of helping people, but I wouldn't have the right experience, you know, because when I really look at it, I've got like close to 20, it's over 25 years of experience in this industry. Because even when I was a teacher, even when I was in construction, I would still fall back to landscaping. I'd still fall back to there was always something in this industry that I would always go back to.
Yeah.
So it was varying things throughout that time period, but it was, I'd go help somebody mow, get caught back up on mowing lawns and things. Oh, I'd help somebody do a patio install or whatever it might be. Just do concrete sidewalks. I know that's not exactly green, but hey,
I'm glad you got back up, because if you hadn't got back up, I would have probably never met you. And I have learned from your podcast. And so let me ask you this. If you could give us 3 tips on how to be profitable, what would those 3 tips be?
First and foremost, understand what it takes your business to open up every day. Okay, don't look at your neighbor, don't look at your competitor, don't look at anybody else. Look at what you need. Okay? Then second step, make sure you're paying yourself. Okay, this is a little bonus one, but make sure you're paying yourself something. I don't care if it's $10 an hour, whatever, but pay yourself at least what you would have to pay somebody else to do that same job.
Right.
So
that's good.
If you're out there mowing and say, $15 is the minimum, then you have to pay yourself at least that $15. Don't forget, you're the boss. You get access to profits, but profits are not your paycheck.
That's good.
Just remind yourself that. You have every right to every bit of profit in your business, but that does not mean that you just make the profits your paycheck. Because there's a lot of companies out there that have huge, their top line numbers are huge. Their bottom lines suck. I've dealt with companies where they've had millions of dollars in top line revenue, and at the end of everything, after you go through all their balance sheets, their profit losses, everything, they're negative. So what does that mean? Is there profit? Well, there probably is somewhere in there, but on paper, in paper and real life, sometimes there's a difference. Okay, there's a differential. But, if you look at it and you actually see the bank account and you go, there's nothing there, how can you pay yourself with nothing?
Right.
So just remind yourself, always pay yourself. Your profit is not your paycheck.
That's good. That is good.
But, make sure you know what it is, the top 3 things. Make sure you know what it costs you now. Make sure you're paying yourself. And then what's the next step? Think like 2-3 steps ahead. Where are you going? Okay, are you at the tippy top of what your goals are right now? Or are you just starting out? Because the thing is, you might get, let's just say you're set up. Let's just keep mowing in particular. You go out there and you're working out of a Honda Civic with, let's go old school. A lot of guys have this story. I worked out of a Honda Civic hatchback. I had a push mower, a spin trimmer, and a blower. And that's it. Okay, well, is that how you're going to run your business from now until whenever? Probably not.
Right.
So if your current situation is kind of on the really low end, think about 2-3 steps ahead. Think of yourself in that truck that you want, the trailer that you have, the proper mower for the accounts that you have. Now, this doesn't always mean that you have to have a 72-inch mower. It might just mean like, hey, a 36-inch stand-on mower is going to fit us perfectly. Visualize those things and go, okay, that's what we need. And if that's where you're going to be going in a short amount of time, that's where you think that's the box you should be in. Okay? So whatever that costs to do that, that's where your pricing should be reflected on. So that way, you're growing into it, but at the same time, it's not culture shock to you and to your clientele when you start saying, I have to start charging you more money because I'm not making anything right now. I could kind of make an eco-living out when I was just pushing a mower and I threw it in the back of my car, but now we have bigger, better expenses.
Right.
So, design your business and your pricing structure around the business that you're going to be in the near future.
Work towards the business you want to have, is what you're saying.
Yeah, and it doesn't Now, if you want a multi-million dollar business, you're not going to start out multi-million dollar. You're not going to go out there, you know, buy 10 trucks and all that stuff. You need to work on sales and getting people into your business. You have to build a crew. There's so many other things that you have to do. But the funny thing is, some guys get scared because they realize, okay, maybe they're running two crews and they're freaking out because they're like, man, it's super expensive to do this, and maybe my profits aren't as good as they could be. The funny thing is, you might be at a point where you're just at that point where if you get to the next level, things get easier. Things get less expensive, actually, because you have more people in your inside your organization, and it actually is less money to operate all the things that you need. We could go down a whole hole just on that part alone.
Yeah.
But just to keep it simple, you know what your costs are now, know what your costs are tomorrow, and then make sure that you are paying yourself.
That's good. Yes, sir.
Those three things right there will help you be profitable.
I was filling up my truck the other day, and a young guy walked up to me and asked me, he said, I'm thinking about starting a lawn care business. What do you charge to mow a property? And I said, well, I'll tell you what. Here's what you need to do. Find out what the big companies in this town are charging, and that's what you need to charge. You want to start off where you need to be instead of starting off extremely low just to get a job, because there's no profit in that. So you find out what the big companies are charging, and that's where you need to be. And also, you can become profitable a lot quicker.
Yeah. Take that with a grain of salt, too, because some guys, they will look at gigantic companies, and they'll go, well, you know, there's this big, big company. It's nationwide. And they don't operate at the right margins.
Yeah.
So, like, here's and I shouldn't say the right margins, but they're a nationally traded company. They're on NASDAQ, okay? If you look at what their pricing structure is like, it would destroy most small businesses because they're in the single-digit margins.
Okay.
The thing is, they have the volume. They have not only residential, but they have commercial properties. They have all of these other, you know, they have a huge amount of clientele. And it's like, if you're doing billions of dollars in business and you're at 1.5% margin, it sounds like a lot of money, but it's really not. You know, they also have investors and things backing behind them. So it's like when you look at like these really, really big companies and you go, well, they're charging $110 to install, you know, 5 yards of mulch. I guess that's what I should charge too. Most of us small to medium-sized businesses, we're charging $130 to install a yard of mulch.
Yeah.
And that's 1 yard, and we have a 3 yard minimum.
Right, you know? Yeah.
So be careful with that mentality too. Like if it's a big local company, I would say yes.
Yeah, that's what I was talking to him about.
Yeah.
You know, and I didn't mind sharing with him how much I charge per yard. I'm not going to drop my trailer gate for less than $55. It's going to start right there. And then it's going to go up depending on the difficulty of the property, how much trimming there is, if there's mulch beds, if there's a lot of flowers, if there's fences and trees, and, you know, the price is just going to go up. So I was trying to let him know, you know, find out what myself and a couple other companies that service a lot of clients in Newcastle, find out what they're charging to mow a yard, what their price breakdown is, and try to be aligned with that to where you can start making money right off the bat instead of lowballing yourself and not making a profit.
Yeah, I agree. I never understood the concept of offering a lower price or accepting a lower price just to get the work.
Right.
Because there is such a difference between being busy and being productive.
Absolutely.
Because all of us can be busy. And that, you know, being busy could make you some money, but it's like, I've dealt with so many, I used to do it myself a long, long time ago, where my schedule was just filled. And I'm going around and I'm like, man, I am dying here. I am working 12, 13, you know, in the summertime, 12, 13 hours a day. And, you know, my crew can't do that either. So they're, you know, guys are jumping off at 9 hours, 10 hours, whatever. And I would stay out later and I'm just trying to get stuff done. It's like when you start taking an assessment of yourself and going, wait a second, why am I driving all the way out here just to do like this cluster? Yeah. Is this even worth it? You know, it's like, well, yeah, maybe there's two or three of them. And it's like, yeah, it sounds like a good amount of money, you know, but it's like, okay, I'm driving this far to make like $120, but then it takes me away from my core area. And if I spent that same time driving and doing the work and then driving back, if I would have just picked, I could just pick up like, hey, I could pick up like five more right here, or maybe even just keep, add three more, just replace them identically, you know, and I'm making way more money. I'm not even charging even more. It's just like, just because the time there, time back, and actually doing the work there, it's not doing it. So it's like, maybe let's cut that off.
Right.
Oh, wait, we still have the same amount of counts, but now that they're closer to one another, closer proximity, I'm not as busy. You know, I'm actually profitable. I'm actually, you know, we're productive. And that's why I like saying, you know, be productive, don't just be busy.
Windshield time eats into your profit.
100%.
I travel usually every Friday throughout the spring and summer. And fall, we drive to Muncie, Indiana. It's 13 miles from me. But we do 23 properties there in one day. So I turn a profit even though I'm driving 13 miles. And I'm paying, you know, 35 or 40 minutes windshield time to an employee, but after I count up all of my gas, the hourly rate, and what I spend that day, I'm still turning a profit for that day. So it's beneficial for me to do that. Now, I mow my mother's yard. She's 92. And of course, I don't charge her. I'm still mowing her yard for free. After all these years. But, you know, if something would happen to my mom, I don't know that I would continue to make that trip. I might let those properties go because I can always pick up more right here in town. I've got a waiting list of 25 to 30 people that want to get on my schedule. So it would just be a matter of making a phone call to the first 25 people and say, hey, you're in. So that's nice to do that. But I really appreciate your time, and I feel like this has been a great podcast recording.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. I mean, it's very easy, you know, very easy talking with you. And you asked some really great questions. I've enjoyed myself here. So thank you, Andy. I appreciate the invite. And thank you for letting me talk to your listeners.
Oh, yes. Well, we will definitely schedule a second recording, and maybe we can get into what you specialize in, numbers.
Oh, absolutely. And, anytime you want to talk about numbers, that's my...
And maybe help our listeners learn how to break down what their true number is.
Sure.
Versus what their top dollar is. You know, people say, well, I made $200,000 this year. Well, after all your expenses, you might have been lucky to make, you know, $30,000 or whatever it is, you know. So if we can maybe schedule a recording where you can help us break down our numbers and know the difference between our top dollar and our bottom dollar, I think that would be a great recording.
Oh, absolutely. I'd be more than happy to help you with that.
All right. Well, I appreciate you, and appreciate you being in our series, Meet the Pros. And there's one of your podcasts that I have gone back to and listened over and over again. You done a recording on SMART goals. And I have listened to that I don't know how many times, because I don't want to set unrealistic goals, goals that I can't achieve. And so that podcast has meant a lot to me, and I want you to know how much I enjoy listening to you.
I appreciate that, Andy. I really do. You know, if anybody else is interested, you know, Profits with Payjack, it's available on all the podcast libraries. And if you're looking to, you know, reach out to me, you could go to johnpayjack.com. I'm sure Andy will put that in the show notes for you.
Yes.
So that way, you know, just make it easy to reach out and contact me. But yeah, that means so much to me. Thank you, Andy. I'm glad that, you know, you never know which episode or what topic you might be talking about that might resonate with people.
Right.
So it's, you know, I really appreciate that feedback, because I try every episode, I try to make sure that, you know, I'm, you know, trying to appeal to a lot of people, but at the same time, I keep things within a very, you know, there's a pond that we live in, and I'm not trying to be the ocean. I just want to work within a certain aspect of, especially with like the green industry, just talking about the things a lot of other podcasters in our realm don't talk about.
Right.
But they're things that are important, and you should. It doesn't have to be like life-changing advice, but it you never know what, maybe just a couple little small steps might be the way to, it's like, oh, that was the thing I needed to jump up to the next level. That was the little soapbox that I needed to stand on to see the other side of the fence and go, oh, I should be doing that.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
Hey, just give me a leg up and I'm going to jump that fence.
Yeah. Well, there's one thing I'm thinking about doing, and it's been on my mind and my heart a lot lately within our industry and my little network of friends and associates, starting a prayer group.
Yeah.
To where when I pray for John Payjack. I pray for his safety. I pray for his health. I pray for his family. And when John Payjack prays, which I believe you are a praying man, you pray for Andy Wilson. And just build a little network of prayer to just be a strength, be a blessing, be encouragement to other people in our industry. And if that's something you would be interested in, I certainly would love to have you to be a part of that.
Oh, that'd be fantastic. I would love to be part of that.
All right. Well, I'm going to be working on that. And I've got about 8 others that are wanting to be in the group. And just, you know, maybe once a quarter, jump on a little Zoom call and share a testimony with each other. And just, you know, talk about maybe our struggles and what we're going through. And would you pray for me? I'm facing this and I'm going through this. And I need help and I need strength. So I would love to have you be a part of that.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic, yes.
All right. Well, until we talk again, and hopefully it's real soon, we're going to call this one a wrap. And I thank you for joining the Lawn Hustle. Thank you. Have a good day.
All right, brother. Thank you so much.
All right. God bless you.
God bless you too, Andy.
Bye-bye.
We'll catch up soon, okay?
Okay, bye-bye.